Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Somebody scream! I said together we stand, divided we fall. Give Jesus a big hand clap in this house right here. I like it here. I love it in San Diego. How come all the good-looking people live in San Diego? Ah, he's got a golden tongue. Turn to somebody and say, just sit down. Do you know when a preacher says, you know, I hate it when a preacher says, hold hands to the person next to you. That sucks. I don't like it. And then after, when you stop holding the hand, you go, anyway, Pastor Jürgen, Pastor Leanne, the sexiest pastors in the USA. Now, a lot of you may not know this, but you may not know this. And I can't tell you, but no, shall I tell you? I will. But to look at Jürgen, you'd never think that he was an ugly child, would you? No, you wouldn't. Now look at him. But not many people, Jürgen told me not to say this, but I'm going to say I have to. Because when he was born, they put him in an incubator with tinted windows. That's how ugly he was. Normally when a baby is born, you slap the baby, they slapped his mother. And that's what happened. But look how he turned out, ladies and gentlemen. It is a joy. It is a joy. How many of you were not here this morning? Give us a wave. Okay, I am saved. I am a Christian. Okay. Just thinking. Today has been amazing. This morning, Jesus was so precious, so close. And in the 12 o'clock service, something. Yeah, you 12 o'clockers. It was awesome. It was awesome. God just did. But that was this morning. This is tonight. And the one thing I know about Jesus is that he always has something fresh and something different and something individual. And, you know, tonight, I was going to preach on the spiritual significance of the left armpit of the Antichrist and how it relates to today's modern society. And I was going to deal with that hair by hair, but it would have taken too long. So I've changed the message. So the title of my message is What to Do When You Don't Know What to Do When You're Doing What You Did, Knowing You Were Doing It Wrong. But then when you had the revelation of doing it right, you still messed it up. But I thought that's too long a title. They said they can't get it on the CD thing. So I have to go to plan C. You know, let me tell you something. You know, destiny, it's great, isn't it? Right, let's, I forgot what I was going to say. Now let's, I genuinely forgot. Do you know what? I had a brilliant thought then. It went, whoof, whoof. But you know, in the Old Testament, doesn't just bug you when you can't remember the brilliant thought. Yeah, you heard it is. Oh, God, it's gone again. No. Destiny. So, in the Old Testament, right, when God commanded his people to worship him, he said, when you come into my presence from the north gate, you have to leave through the south gate. So when you come into my presence to worship me from the east gate, you have to leave through the west gate. In other words, God is saying, you don't leave my presence the same way that you came into my presence. And if that is the case, in the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant, how much more are we going to believe tonight that we are not going to leave the same way that we came in here? If you came in here with a spirit of heaviness, let's believe that you're going to go out with a spirit of joy. If you came in here sick, let's believe that you're going to go out of here healed in Jesus' name. I'm childlike enough to believe this stuff. Do I have any more kids in the house here tonight? But you know, I've discovered, like, all morning I've been talking about the wonder of grace. And the more you get captivated by the wonder of the grace of God, the more you begin to hate in the right sense. How many of you know it's right to get angry and sin not? And the one thing that makes me angry as a lover, you know what? The Lord said to me, I always thought that I was a preacher of grace until I met my friend Joseph Prince from Singapore. And we become very good friends. I preached every year. And we spent some time together and we became good friends. And the Lord said to me, here's the difference, Ray. You preach grace a lot, but he preaches grace alone. And that's what the Apostle Paul preached. Grace alone, no mixture. And when I read the epistles of the Apostle Paul, I now understand. I understand the heart of this amazing man. Why he was beaten up and shipwrecked and how the devil hated his guts. Because he preached grace alone. And I'm telling you something. The one thing that makes me angry is the one thing that I call the grace killer, and that is religion. And wherever I go, that's why Jürgen and I are the way we are. That's why whenever we see intense religious, we just want to dispense it. Come on, we want to dissolve that stuff. No, man, I see religion has robbed grace of its wonder. But there is a tsunami of grace rising across the planet, and it's sweeping across the planet, and it's changing lives. Chains are falling off. Religion is a grace killer. When I talk about religion, I'm not talking about some organization. Let me give you the essence of religion. This is what I mean when I talk about religion. Any attempt to be made right with God through your works or maintain a relationship with God through your works after you're saved. Religion is man respecting God, but Christianity is man receiving God. That's the difference. Religion is about imitation. The slogan that was so popular years ago, "What would Jesus do?" is a religious statement. It's not what would Jesus do, it's what has Jesus already done 2,000 years ago. Because the emphasis shifts from us to him. Come on, somebody say amen. You see, for religion to work, it needs two elements. It needs a guilty conscience and an angry deity. You get those two elements working. That's why religion works. Because you have a guilty conscience trying to appease an angry God, and you go along the cycle and along the cycle, and it can never work. Now, I'm not here. God's not raised us up to preach some religious message. We've been raised up to preach grace alone. And for too long, the church has been a place where a guilty preacher is telling a guilty congregation how to feel more guilty. That's the essence. That's why when the Lord said to me, Ray, I'm raising you up as an abolitionist, armed with the gospel of the grace of God. And every time this morning we saw it, we're going to see it again tonight, because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to those that believe it. And I believe, I'm looking at a bunch of believers in this place tonight. Amen. We just got to believe it, not dissect it, not try to understand it. You will never understand the gospel. It's too amazing for you and me. We just got to enjoy it. Oh, I love it. Oh, I love it. No, be quiet now. No, not now. It's my friend. She follows me around everywhere. Anyway, so are you still with me? Do I still have some believers here? Watch this. Religion demands you march. Grace invites you to dance. And this is the difference. I'll say it again. Religion, I like this church when you get people preaching back at you. It reminds me of my secular days in the rock and roll stuff. Yeah, sing it again, George. Right, I'll do it. Sing Delilah. Anyway, so now religion, Religion demands you march. Grace invites you to dance. Watch this. Do you have that program over here called Dancing with the Stars? Where you get some celebrity that dances like a starfish on speed. And then they put them with some professional dancer. Right? Watch this. And after a while, I mean, you know, you could tell, after a while, the professional dancer actually makes the crap dancer look really good. Now watch this. You see, religion demands you march, but grace invites you to dance. And for too long, the church has been marching on a parade ground when all the time the invitation is going out from grace to come onto the dance floor and enjoy the dance. Come on, man. Let's put the life back into abundant life here. My mother, bless her heart. My mother and father, on a Saturday night, they used to go up to the local club and they used to play bingo, have a couple of jugs. And my mother, after a couple of whiskey and whatever she used to drink, after a couple of them, she was very happy. And she'd come home from, I was about 9, okay? And she'd come home every Saturday. And my mother loved to dance. She loved to waltz, right? She loved it. She'd come home every Saturday. My father would sing some rubbish songs. He was out of his head. And my mother was just a little bit merry. And she'd put the music on. And then she'd say, Raymond, come and dance with your mother. No! You don't dance with your mother. She said, come and dance. And I couldn't dance. She was dancing. Da, 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 and I couldn't. And my mother had huge breasts, right? And she'd grab me. I'm still having counseling for this. She'd grab hold of me. She'd grab hold of me, right? No, listen, this is serious. She'd grab hold of me, right? I'm in here. I'm in the valley of the shadow of death. I'm in. No. You must not do this to me. Do you know Jürgen said that you bring the naughty out in preachers. Anyway. Hello. Anyway, I didn't see you there. Listen. Anyway, so. So watch this. So come here, Raymond. I'm in. And she's dancing and I'm trying and she's loving it as she's going, wee! And she's swinging my little legs around like this. And then I'm trying to get into the dance, right? I'm trying to anticipate, okay, she's going over here. But no, she comes here and I'm going in the wrong direction. She didn't say, you stupid boy. Why did I choose you to dance with me? She didn't say, get out of here. I know you should be going this direction and you're going in that direction. No. All she did was just hold me a bit tighter, which... All she did, watch, was hold me a bit tighter. She didn't rebuke me for not getting the direction right. Watch, she just held me closer and she led me into truth. I stepped on her toes, I don't know how many times, but somehow she maneuvered her toes and mine so that I didn't step on them so often. And so, the Holy Ghost is not your Sergeant Major. He's your dance partner and there are times, come on, there are times when we've actually wanted to go in that direction. Come on, anybody talking to me here? We wanted to go. See, there's a bias in us. We get hurt. We get disappointed. We get deceived. We get confused. And we actually want to go in this direction. But he doesn't say, get out of here. You should know better. No. He just holds us tight to watch. And leads us into all truth. I want to tell you, I want to invite you to the dance tonight. Some of you have been on this parade ground and you've been marching to the beat and you haven't fasted enough, you haven't prayed enough, and if you step out of line, God's going, boom, you stupid boy. No, 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 this isn't a march, folks. This is a wild, wonderful dance with Jesus. Hey! Give Jesus praise. I love it. I love it. I got something great here. Are you receiving this tonight? Watch this one. Religion says, behave. Grace says, believe. When the angel of death passed through the streets of Egypt, he was given one command by God. When you see the blood of the sacrifice sprinkled on the doorposts and the lintels, whoever is inside has trusted my sacrifice, has trusted my word, angel of death, pass over. The angel of death was not instructed to go inside first to check the behavior. Talk to me, somebody here. It's not about your behavior. It's about what he did 2,000 years ago. We got to believe that. Man. Oh, Jürgen, I love this place. I actually feel like a brilliant preacher. Oh man, listen. So I'm in the church, my church. I was a pastor for 25 years. Can you believe that? All right, 25 years. If God can use me, trust me. I mean, if God can use Jürgen, give me a break. I mean, he can use anyone. If he can use us. And do you know what the Lord said? Because I tried to fit in to people's idea of what a preacher should be like. But it wasn't me. And do you know what the Lord said to me? He said, Ray, I'm not going to anoint who you want to be. He said, I'm going to anoint who you are. I made you with all those wonderful, quirky stuff. And I'm going to bless it. Do you know what? I want you to be like other preachers. Like when you're a young preacher, you know, you always aspire to be somebody, to be like the one you aspire to be like. You aspiring to be like the one you aspire. You know what I mean? So have you heard of a guy called Reinhard Bonnke? You're right, man. Now, Reinhard is my hero. He's an amazing German evangelist, right? The guy, I mean, every time I used to meet him, I used to confess all my sins to God. You know, one of those people that, well, I wonder if you can see that. Like Superman eyes, you know, X-ray eyes. He's one of those, but a great, great man of God. And I listened to all his tapes, and I'm from Wales. Got a Welsh accent, as you can tell. But after about... I wanted to be so much like him. I started speaking with a German accent. Can you believe that? Yeah, but I go down to the shop in the Welsh village. I want 2 pounds of potatoes. They're looking at me. They know me. What? Hallelujah. I'm doing this. And God says, I'm not going to anoint who you want to be. Can you imagine if Yonggi Cho was my mentor? What? All the people. I'll be talking. Anyway, so religion says behave, but grace says believe. And we get so hung up on our performance as Christians. Honest to God, we beat ourselves up. And then we get some dingbat preacher who comes up and make you feel even more guilty. They need to go to heaven quick. There's ways of doing that, you know. I think me and Jürgen are going to set up a little Christian mafia and sort it out. So anyway, I hate religion that much. I hate this stuff because it binds people up. And I'm sitting in our church, Jürgen, on a Tuesday night, and one of our young men was preaching, and he's using this scripture, right? And the Lord just gave me some revelation that I'm going to share with you tonight. Is that okay? I want to share this. Oh, time has gone. I'll do it next time I come here, okay? Hey! Well, no, I'll do it now. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews, it's in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, Revelation, Leviticus, Hebrews. Chapter 6. Oh, I know my Bible. Don't mess with me. Hebrews chapter 6. This is very serious. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19 and 20 says, welcome to C3 Church, San Diego. Oh, sorry. Watch this. So here's the young man in our church preaching this, right? Watch this. You're going to be blown away with this. I was. Brought tears to my eyes. This hope we have, talking about our salvation, okay? One of the biggest problems that young Christians have, one of the biggest issues they're dealing with is insecurity. And the reason why they're insecure is because they live with a fear of judgment. I'm talking about Christians now. They live with this fear of judgment. Before we look at that verse, can you put 1 John 4 up? Here's the reason why many Christians live with this fear of judgment and they can't enjoy their Christianity. It says, can you put the 1 John 4 up? Is it up there? Hey, that's a miracle. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So watch this. So that we will not be afraid on the day of judgment. Now, John is speaking to Christians because this was the problem in the early church. Oh, every idle thought. When you get to heaven, Christian, first thing that will happen, God will show a DVD of all your sins. Oh, I can't wait to get to heaven. Can you? Give me a break. I don't want people to know what goes on in here. Watch this. So we will not be afraid. Everybody say, so we will not be afraid. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence. Watch this. Because, in fact, the actual translation is because as he is, so are we. Now watch this next verse. Such love has no fear. Because perfect love, that's what you've received. Jesus is perfect love. Perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, if some of you are afraid as Christians, watch, it is for fear of punishment and it's a symptom. Here's the, if you're afraid of judgment as a Christian, it's a symptom. Here's the symptom. This shows that we've not fully experienced perfect love. Now watch this. So back to the Hebrew scripture. This hope we have as an anchor, everybody say anchor. Anchor. That's funny, isn't it? Can we all say this in Mandarin? Okay. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both steadfast and sure. Talking about our salvation. The day you receive Jesus, you've received something that is firm as an anchor. Both steadfast and sure, which enters the presence behind the veil where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus. Now, there are two words in that verse that have nautical implications. One is anchor, the other one is forerunner. Now, watch this. I want you to know what a forerunner was. In those days, right, if a large ship could not negotiate the entrance into a harbor, there was a guy on the ship called a forerunner. His job was to take the anchor, go in a small boat, and row ashore and anchor the ship on solid ground, then slowly winch the ship in. That's a beautiful picture. Jesus is our anchor. I said, Jesus is our anchor. All right, let me visually demonstrate this. Let me introduce you to Jesus right here. Where's Jesus? He's from San Diego. Here he is. Give it up for Jesus. I want to show you something. So watch this, right? So Jesus comes into the world. Okay? He comes into the world. He dies. He pays for all our sins. He's resurrected, Now he's gone back into heaven, as the scripture says, behind the veil, in the very presence of God. He's our anchor. Watch this. That's the gospel. That's the salvation. Watch this. So I'm a very good looking sex symbol rock singer in the 60s. And sometimes even when I sing now as a Christian, people just want to come and touch my body. And I said, no, give me my space. I don't like it. That's why I don't sing that much. So here I am, right? I'm 19 years of age. I'm in a rock band. I'm a dope-smoking, flipping, womanizing, uncircumcised Philistine. I had no interest in the gospel. I wasn't raised, right? Nothing. But from time to time, I'd see this. The gospel. Someone would vaguely, nah, not for me, man. I just want to party. I mean, that's a life killer. Give me a break. So, boom. So I'm going on, and from time to time, I just see it. And it's just there. So then one night, I go to see a movie in our little village. And the movie was called The Greatest Story Ever Told. I thought it was a Western. Seriously. I thought, like, you know, the Wild West. I go, it's one of those classic movies about the life, death, resurrection of Jesus. So here I am in this cinema thinking, I'm going. But then I started to watch the movie. I thought, this is cool. Jesus, you know, he walks on waters. Come on. Look at that. And then there's this blind guy wants to get healed. And he goes, do you want to get healed? Take a load of that. And I'm thinking, that's flipping amazing. That is amazing. This guy, and I'm captivated by Jesus. What I didn't know, the Holy Ghost was making this very, very real to me now. Okay? In the most unlikely place. And so I'm watching Jesus. This is brilliant. This is fabulous. Then they kill him at the end of the film. And I'm on Jesus' side. And I'm angry. Come on, Jesus. Come on, just blow your nose. You wipe them out. You do it. Come on. Do a Clint Eastwood on him. And I'm in the movie, I'm on. And they, you can't do a Clint. You know, like when Clint Eastwood, like 7,000 men beat him up. And they shoot him, they stab him. Then they drag him out of the city and he's outside. And all the baddies are inside. Yeah, we sorted that out. And miraculously, in 2 days, with 17 stab wounds, 4 shots in his head, and all of he gets up. I love the scene. And all the baddies are there and they're in the bar. And then all of a sudden, at the end of the road, there's a cloud of dust. And we hear this immortal tune. Thank you. And there he is. And there he is with his poncho and his cigar. And he kills a flipping lot of them. Yeah, go for Clint. So I said, come on, Jesus, do a Clint. Come on, do a Clint. He did nothing, just died. And I'm in there thinking, do you know what? They died. They took him off the cross. And I thought, what a sad ending to a film. I put my coat on. But the film kept on going. And nobody had ever told me about the film kept on going. And they put him in this tomb, I thought. And they put soldiers outside the tomb. I said, give me a break. You've already killed him. Now you got soldiers outside the tomb. Are you nuts? I didn't know the story, you see, but look, it's beginning to become real now. Are you with me here? And so, at the end of the movie, I wanted to eat the chair. I mean, he rose from the dead. He actually rose from the dead. And I thought, he's going to do a Clint on them. He's going to do a Clint on them. And you know what? When Jesus rose from the dead, do you know what happened? The Holy Ghost said, Ray, he is the end of your search. It's not the parties. It's not the fame. It's not the dream. It's not the And you know what? That night, in the cinema, I'm so glad the Holy Ghost goes to the cinema. Yeah. Amen. The Holy Ghost will go anywhere where Jesus is lifted up. Right there. I believed. I didn't behave. I believed. Now, I'm attached to another world. I'm in the world, but I'm attached to another world. Watch this. And this is the lesson. It's not about behavior. It's about believing. So I'm serving Jesus, and I'm doing great. And then all of a sudden, I sin as a Christian. Big time sin. Because I've been told, this could be the sin that could cause you to lose your salvation. So fear fills my heart. I think, Jesus, I'm sorry. I tried my best. I didn't want to do it. It was a deliberate sin. I know it was. And this could be the sin. I think I've lost my salvation. And I'm so sorry. But I go to walk away. I go to walk away. I go to walk away. But somebody has anchored my salvation in heaven behind the veil. Somebody, listen, somebody won't let me go. Somebody won't let me go. And so I serve him. Watch this. So now I serve him, not out of guilt, but out of gratitude. And my whole perception of serving God changes. And now I'm serving him. Watch this now. And now I'm a mature Christian and I sin again. My behavior doesn't match the word. And it's a sin. And the devil says, you should have known better. You're a mature Christian. How could you do that? And because you start to believe the lies, I try to walk away again. And that's when I realized nothing can separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. I said nothing can separate me from the love of God. And do you know what? The motivation. People say to me, Ray, you can't. Thank you, Jesus. Give Jesus a big clap right here. People say to me, preachers say to me, you can't preach this grace message. It'll give people license to sin. No, it doesn't give you license to sin when you have a revelation. Listen, they say, you need to preach more repentance and you need to preach more holiness. I agree. I want my church to live a repentant lifestyle. I want my church to be holy. I want my life to be a repentant lifestyle. But what? This came out of my spirit when I was challenged about that. I said, God's not told me to plant fruit. He said, what do you mean? I said, I don't know. It just came out. God's not commanded me to plant. I said, repentance is a fruit. Then the Holy Ghost began to show me something. What is the seed? How many of you know fruit comes from seed? I said, God's not told me to plant fruit. He's told me to plant seed. So what is the seed that produces a repentant lifestyle? It's the goodness of God that leads us. It's the goodness of God that produces a life of repentance. What about holiness? What about holiness? You can't make yourself holy. I tried for like 4 years. I nearly had a nervous flipping breakdown trying to be holy. I thought, I changed my clothes. I had a haircut. I looked like St. Francis of Assisi. I had to buy a suit. I looked like a banana. I bought a Bible this size. The only thing I could understand was Holy Bible. But I looked great and felt like crap. Is crap swearing here? Is crap? No? Thank God. Anyway, so, do you understand what I'm saying? God, man, I tried the praying thing. I tried the fasting thing and I felt worse until I got the revelation. There's only one person. Hey, I've already been made holy and he is continually making me holy as I just serve him with gratitude. Give Jesus some praise in this place right here. Our time is gone, man. Can I have a couple more minutes? Are you okay for a couple more minutes? Let me just look. I've got some of these left, right? I'm not a very good advert for my own stuff, but this I'm so passionate about this USB. There's 10 hours of teaching on, it's called Grace Alone. And it's my personal journey of how God just brought me into this wonderful, wonderful revelation. It's only $20. You need to get it, and you can get the album as well. I really would like you to get that. There's a message on here. There's 3 messages on the protocol of grace. It has a protocol. The reason why many Christians are frustrated and they're not enjoying their Christian life, watch this, because they're using an old covenant protocol to approach a new covenant God. It's like going down to the ATM with a discontinued card. And you put the discontinued card in the ATM and the money does not come out and you start screaming at the ATM. No, man. We are living in the new covenant. So I explain all that on there. But let me finish with this. Do you know what? Thank you for making me look as if I'm an amazing preacher. I mean, really, you've drawn stuff out of me. I just love this house. I love this house. But I'm going to finish with this because God wants to do a miracle for you. If you'll just believe it. I'm preaching on the story of blind Bartimaeus in our church. And you know the story, and Jesus is there, and the religious guys are there. And Jesus says, "Hey, Bart, what's up? What do you want me to do for you?" The religious people, "Jesus, excuse me? You can't do that. He's done nothing for the church. He's a taker. He doesn't tithe, doesn't attend. He's just a taker. You just shut up." Grace tells religion to shut up. And watch this. Religion says, "This is what you must do for me." Grace says, "What do you want me to do for you?" No conditions. Now don't freak out. Don't even try to go there. No conditions. What about nothing? That really smacks your pride all the way to hell, doesn't it? It's nothing to do with us. Grace stands here. Says, "What do you want me to do for you?" And immediately we go into performance mode. Oh, I kicked the dog. I put the cat down the toilet because it's just got on my nerves. I mean, you start going all this behavior stuff. Right, watch this. So I'm preaching this in our church. In the middle of the preaching, a woman gets up from the back. She starts walking down the aisle like this. And I said, "Where's security? Could be a flipping terrorist. I don't know." And a friend came with her, and they walked down the aisle. I'm preaching. And I'm preaching. She comes down here, Jürgen. And I said, "Security." And I'm preaching. She walks along the side. She comes up the steps on the platform. She walks over, and she stops here. And I'm, "Hey, how are you?" She's putting me off. And I prayed the Lord, and the Bible. Hello. Standing there. She says, "Oh, hello." And the congregation, like, I said, "What's your name?" "Oh," she said, "Joan." She said, "What's your name?" I said, "Oh, Ray, I'm preaching here." "What are you doing up here, Joan?" "Well," she said, "I've only been in the church for 2 weeks. This is my second week here." I thought, "Yeah, I gathered that, Joan." I said, "What are you doing here?" "Well," she said, "somebody has been coming and giving me food parcels for the last few months." Now, in our church, we have a social program called Jesus Cares. You can check it out online, King's Church, Newport, Wales. Jesus Cares. Watch this. We have the privilege, a small church in Wales, of feeding 200,000 people a year. We give out, watch this, we give out 2,000 food hampers a month. Okay? It's just something God's done. It's amazing. So she said, "Somebody's been giving me these food hampers, Jesus Cares. So I asked my friend, who's giving me these food hampers? And she said, oh, the King's Church. Jesus lives there. That's enough compliment for me. Not, oh, there's great music there. Or there's great preaching there. Or I can have great friends there. No, Jesus lives there. She said, Jesus lives there. Watch this. Oh, this gets better. This gets so good. I said, really, Joan? Yeah. So she said, I had to come to say thank you to Jesus for my food hampers. I said, well, you didn't need to come up here. She said, no. You were preaching. You said that, well, I know he lives here. And you said that he's here now. And he's here and he's saying, what do you want me to do for you? So she said, I haven't been able to walk without my walker for 3 years. So I said, Jesus, look, I know you've given me a food hamper, but can you heal my legs then? She said, I felt this warmth go through my body. That's why I stood out into the aisle to see if I could stand without my walker. And then I thought, I wonder if I can walk without my walker. So that's why and it was so wonderful, I didn't want to stop. It was just fun. And my friend said, I wonder if we can come up them steps. So I came up the steps, and I got up the steps without my walker. And here I am. Watch this. Isn't that wild? So I said, Joan, I'm nearly through. I said, Joan, look, Jesus wants to do something else for you. Never. Yes. He doesn't live in the building, Joan. He lives in the hearts of the people who come here. Would you like Jesus to go home with you? She said, never. I said, yeah. I said, all you got to do, can I pray a prayer? I led her to Jesus right there. Watch this. I led her to Jesus. I said, how do you feel? She said, this is wonderful. She said, Ray, can I speak to the people? I gave her the mic. She said, hello, everybody. You don't know me, but I've been a very bad person. But she said, do you know what? Jesus has given me a food hamper, healed my legs. Now he's coming home with me. Why don't you lot do the same? 3 cheers for Jesus. Hip, hip. Hip, hip. Hip, hip. Come on, give him praise. 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 I'm going to wind this up, just remain standing. Have you enjoyed the presence of Jesus tonight? Let's give him another big clap right here. This is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do. No big deal. No psyching up, no big deal. Grace stands here. He's here. And he says, what do you want me to do for you? Religion demands you behave. Jesus just wants you to believe. Grace just wants you. Do you want him to heal your body right here, right now? Do you want angels to be released into your family situation right now? Come on, somebody talk to me. What is it? What is it? Listen. You don't need to fast one more day if you're trusting your fasting to bend God's arm. There's a right way to fast, but that's not it. You aren't going to, you know, give, a, you know, it's not about your behavior. It's about your believing. Bartimaeus had nothing to offer Jesus, and he said, what do you want me to do for you, Bart? So right now, in this wonderful sense of God's presence, I'm not going to call people forward. I'm going to hand back to the pastor in a moment for stuff. But right now, Holy Spirit, thank you for helping me tonight to deliver your word. We hate religion, so do you. That's why you died on a cross to deal with it. Life came out of the tomb. Lord, there are people here tonight, just like Joan. And if it was up to their behavior, then they'd never reach the standard. But thank you, Lord, that you dealt with that. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you unconditionally love us and unconditionally bless us. So right now, there are people all over this building believing that you are going to answer their prayer for healing, family salvation, financial breakthrough. I don't know. Lord Jesus, Lord Jürgen and Leanne are believing for 16 locations. 16 locations. Lord Jesus, nothing is impossible with you. Lord, you're able to do far above all that we can ask or think. Lord, you would not have put the vision in their hearts if you weren't planning to make it come to pass. Lord, I'm believing for stuff. You know that. You know my heart. You know what I'm believing for. Come on, all over the building right now. Just a few moments. I'm going to ask the band to come and lead us in worship. And in the worship, you are just going to ask. You're just going to ask Jesus. You're going to say, do this for me, Jesus. Do this for me, Jesus. Do that for me, Jesus. That's what you're going to do. Come on, let's lead this wonderful group and just ask him. Just ask him. Grace is here. Walking from seat to seat. Come on.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.